Oh, yeah. Hey, that's rock and roll. What do you know? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is a Tuesday morning. And tomorrow night, Great Moments in Vinyl, a terrific group of artists who come together to play the music of other great artists. And in this case, they're going to be playing the Rolling Stones. They're going to play two Rolling Stones albums, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, tomorrow night, December 9th at Martyrs. And we have some members of the group in Great Moments in Vinyl in studio paying tribute to the Stones tomorrow night, Wednesday. And we want to welcome these guys to the studio. And let's say hello to, first, Lindsey Cochran. Lindsey, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Always great to have you in studio. And sitting next to him is Jimmy Tomasello. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, man?
Little tea and sympathy will do.
All right. And then next to him is John Mead. How you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome to the show. Welcome back, John. Welcome back, Lindsey. Welcome to the show for the first time, Jimmy. Thank you very much for coming in. Before we jump into it, Lindsey, you care to explain Great Moments in Vinyl? For regular listeners of the show, they've heard you guys in here before. You guys are awesome. Explain what Great Moments in Vinyl is.
We are music fans who love to make the music that we grew up with, you know, to take these artists that got us excited about music in the first place and to take some of those albums, those very songs, and put them on a stage for other people and say, isn't this music cool?
Yeah.
And by and large, the fans agree with us.
It's, you know, it's different than a tribute band. A lot of tribute bands, which I think are a lot of fun, you know, going to see tribute bands. A lot of tribute bands sometimes dress up like the band. And
I know, it scares me.
It's a little terrifying. I saw
like being an Elvis impersonator.
It is. I remember going to see Presence, one of the many Zeppelin tribute bands, and they... And they're a good band. I mean, they recreate the stuff nicely. But they called themselves during the show. They were doing English accents. They had wigs on, and they were calling each other Bonzo and Pagey. And I was like, no, man,
you have to have the right chest for that.
Yeah,
one of my favorite
tribute bands is War Pigs, the Black Sabbath tribute band. And did I need to explain what tribute band they were? I don't think so. But these are guys who just walk out on stage. You know, they're like middle-aged dudes. They're married. A couple of them are balding. They work construction. And they just come out on stage with their T-shirts on. They go, hey, how's it going? We're War Pigs. And then you close your eyes, and they sound exactly like Sabbath. They play Ozzy-era Sabbath, by the way, and which is the correct Sabbath as far as I'm concerned. And so I appreciate that. You know, I'm like, okay, these guys just – they love playing the music. But there's something extra in what you guys do at Great Moments in Vinyl. Lindsey, you mentioned that you guys are fans first and foremost, what drives it.
I'm always so modest about this, but part of what we do is I tell stories about the music when we perform it. So we pick an album and play the songs from the beginning of the album to the end, and in between the songs – I'll tell a story about how the artist came up with that particular idea or how the guitarist came up with that sound or what the guitarist's girlfriend was doing at that time. You know, just backstories about the music that makes you see it in a new light.
And it adds a lot to the show.
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, people come up after the show and make that very comment. They'll say how now I can hear – I'll always remember the story when I hear this song from here on out.
Well, it's interesting because every time you guys come in, and you've had, because it's a rotating group of artists that do this. You sort of recruit different people for each show that you do.
Depending on their passion for the music.
Yeah.
Two guys are very huge Stones fans.
Yeah, well, they should be.
Well, rock and roll band in the world.
Rock and roll band in the world.
Well,
maybe don't do accents.
morning I do.
Yeah, when it's late, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever accent you want. But the stories in between add like an intimacy to it as well. Like you know, you talk with the audience, you tell them stories, and then people, because you came in here and told some stories that I had never heard before about a lot of the artists, you know,
absolutely,
in the past. And I know
absolutely
we'll hear a couple of stories tonight about the Stones. But you actually, one time you guys did The Police.
Yeah.
You did a night where you honored The Police. And you did, what were the two albums that you did?
Well, actually, we did a chronological first set. So we chose songs from the first four albums, five albums, and then we finished with Synchronicity in its entirety.
Right. So you picked songs from the first four records, and then you did Synchronicity.
The Police, they're a good example. I mean, the reason they were doing reggae music was because when they were coming along, the musicians in The Police were experienced musicians. They wanted to take advantage of the punk craze that was going on in England at the time. When you go to the punk clubs there, you can't listen to punk all night. I mean, just that driving, throbbing beat wears you out. So the DJs in the clubs would start playing reggae music to just break things up.
Right.
And so then you found bands like The Clash started doing reggae music, and the Police picked up on it. And of course, they were the musicians of the caliber that they were, that they were blending their jazz sensibilities and their jazz fusion backgrounds and taking a simple idea, reggae rhythm, and just elevating it to something further.
It's funny because when you guys came in here to talk about that gig for the Police, are a seminal band for me because my high school, my 4 years in high school, represented the span of their albums. Mm. So, like, their first record came out in 79. That was my freshman year in high school. When I graduated in 83, that's when Synchronicity came
out. Incredible. Just 4 or 5 years is all
it's around. Crazy. And they dominated my high school. I mean, that was like, I mean, when I was in high school, it was all about the Police. They were like my favorite band. I saw them a ton of times in concerts. But you came in here and rattled off some stories, and I was like, I never knew that. And I claimed to be like the biggest Police fan in the world.
I've got some Stone stories.
Awesome.
For you.
Awesome. We can talk Stones here, but I want to welcome back to the show, John Mead. John, how are you, man?
I'm very good.
Good. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You play guitar.
I play guitar. I learned how to play guitar by sitting in front of Get Your Ya-Ya's Out when I was 14.
Yeah.
And so, like,
there it
is. It's funny, when we started running these, I picked the two albums. You were asking about that before, so I can say more about that. But some of these songs are the songs I've played the longest, that I've known the longest, and that Live With Me.
Which we started out with, Live With Me from Let It Bleed.
Yeah. Yeah, Live With Me, Sympathy, I think Little Queenie, Honky Tonk Women, and maybe one other one were in the first set I ever played in a band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean,
it goes back. I mean,
yeah. This seriously, like, these are the first songs I could play all the way through.
Do you think a lot of guys are like that? Not just guys, but people who've learned to play guitar. Don't you think? I mean, obviously, the first riffs that you usually learn,
I hope,
have something to do with Keith Richards.
Yeah. Jimmy's my boss at the Old Town School. I teach there, and he's, when people kind of like, how do you play lead guitar and stuff, I start with him because he's so elemental.
Yeah.
And like, he'll pick a spot and, you know, I'm just staying there.
Yeah.
And Gimme Shelter is like, he's in the same spot the whole time. Yeah. And like, man, you know, cause he doesn't move cause he doesn't have to. Cause everything he does sounds great.
Yeah, it's true.
I like what you said about, you know, the music, that stuff you were playing way back when, cause maybe that explains what Great Moments in Vinyl is about. We play music we have a history with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it comes through, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell that you guys really have a passion for it. Now, you mentioned Jimmy Tomasello, who is here as your boss at the Old Town Folk School of Folk. We obviously, every time Lindsay comes down and we talk about Great Moments in Vinyl and the artists that come down and are involved, inevitably the conversation goes back to the Old Town School of Folk.
Yeah, I guess everybody kind of, like, you know, cross paths there.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, I mean.
It's a great place, man.
Yeah.
It is just a great place. And to tell her, what's your position and how long you've been there?
I kind of run the guitar program, which includes a lot of the ensembles and songwriting and bass guitar and all that.
Hmm. Now, you've never been on the show, but I believe you and I have crossed paths a couple of times.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And that would be at Ricochet's.
Ricochets, there we go. Oh, come on. That's the only bar in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's
the
you
that's
and
the
I
only
have,
we, tavern
you,
in that
you and I have absolutely crossed paths.
Now we know, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been there in a long. I've been on the wagon for 6 months, but
God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. But I spent
job
I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time at Ricochets. And I remember seeing you in there. I believe we may have had conversations at some point.
Perhaps. Yeah, there was like a Thursday night crowd that would go over there.
That's what I always talk about, the Thursday night crowd when I used to hang out there. You can't sit in the front of the bar by the window because everybody's got their guitar cases and cello cases and stuff lined up in front. So, anyway, welcome to my show, man.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about your background. How did you start playing?
We've got a guitar and went to the YMCA, and that was a mess, and the guitar didn't work well, so I quit, and then I got an electric guitar and played the lick from Sly and the Family Stone's Sex Machine all day long. It was like two notes. Do, 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 I just do that, you know, around the in it, you know, with the
that
record player.
Popular at home.
Oh hell yeah! Excuse me. Then I started taking lessons from some truant officers who would fall asleep during the. That my dad knew because my dad's a teacher, and he'd, like, fall asleep during the lessons going through the Mel Bay book, and I wanted to play James Taylor in that those days.
Yeah.
So it was a long, long road before I really got serious.
How many bands have you been in? If you can,
more than three.
More. That's a conservative estimate?
Yeah, that would cover this year.
How long have you been with Old Time School?
I started hanging out there as a volunteer somewhere around the Nixon era. Yeah.
So you've been there a long time.
So on and off, a couple of years, I'd go away, and then I'd come back, and then I'd come, you know,
work retail.
Richard or Mojo.
Richard or Mojo.
Yeah. So what is it, in your opinion, Jimmy, that makes the Old Time School folks so special? Is it, you know, I mean, obviously the artists that are there, but also what I – am astounded by every time you guys come in. First of all, the talent of the people that come in here who have passed through Old Towns.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah. Also the incredible variety of classes that you can take. Like the kind of music classes that you don't find anywhere else. Do you think that adds to it?
Yeah, the variety that people can take, anything from you know, hard rock. We have this what's Dan teaching next session that's like totally full. Guns N' Roses. Just like, you know, sold out immediately as soon as we put it up. And then, you know, we have bluegrass and old-timey music and
yeah.
Something for everyone, kids, adults. Yeah. We're working on a senior program, though we don't want to call it a senior program, yeah. But just people who are, like, learning, you know, continuing to learn in their life.
Another thing that I've found whenever I talk to anybody is that people came to the Old Town School of Folk, like Lindsay, in fact, to learn. Yeah. And then end up staying and either becoming a part of Old Town School of Folk or teaching there. Do you find mm-hmm. that to be the case? You can't get rid of people, can you?
In a lot of cases, yeah, that's the truth. You know, John came in as a student initially and a couple of the other people in the group.
I was a student of John's.
Hmm. Exactly. And then Alton, who plays our, right? And I guess Richard and I were in a class together in the 70s.
Really?
At Armitage.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, I remember.
You know, Richard blew my mind the first time he came in here.
Richard Pettengill, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The first time he came in here, he's like, oh, yeah, I was at Woodstock. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he started rattling off shows that he's seen. And I'm like, what the hell,
oh,
man?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's insane, yeah. The catalog that this guy has seen. We have to break. Can you play us out? Can you play us a Stone song out to break here? And, yeah. All right, we'll be right back with Great Moments in Vinyl, saluting the Rolling Stones right here on WGN. That's John Mead, along with Jimmy Tomasello and Lindsay Cochran. They are Great Moments in Vinyl, a great band that... How often do you guys perform, Lindsay? And it's always at Martyrs.
Yeah, every two or three months.
Every couple of months.
They've been very kind to us there. They actually came up to us at a recent show afterwards and said, you know, we love having you here every month. You can pick any night of the week you want.
That's great.
Going forward,
it's such a great room, too. One of the best rooms in the city.
It's owned by Ray and Kate Quinn, I think is their last name. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a recording studio upstairs and has done sessions there for artists. And he makes music himself. He's actually plays flute and talked to me about doing a Jethro Tull show.
Ooh, I happen to be wearing a Jethro Tull T-shirt this morning.
Make sure you bring your contacts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to you guys do some Tall. That would be great.
We were just jamming on some earlier. So.
Yeah. And sitting on a car park bench.
Were you with snot running down your nose at the time? Hello, everybody. Great Moments in Vinyl. They do tributes to great artists, tell stories about each song, and it's very intimate and very cool. The two albums that they've chosen to, well, they're honoring the Rolling Stones. Two albums they've chosen are Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers. Pretty good records. Not bad. And it's tomorrow night, December 9th. At Martyrs at 3855 North Lincoln. The show is at 8, and it's only $10 to get in. And we have a ton of information and links all over our Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/NickDShow. John, you had mentioned earlier that you were the one who chose Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers. We were talking off the air.
Yeah.
There is a well, I say that there are five albums in a row that the Stones released that were, like, unparalleled. In rock and roll history. Nobody, I don't think any other artist, maybe with the exception of the first five Sabbath albums, in my opinion. I think if you don't own the first Black Sabbath album through Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, you have an incomplete record collection, in my opinion. And if you don't own Beggar's Banquet, I say through Goat's Head, but you include Get Your Ya-Ya's album.
Yeah, I stop at Exile and include Ya-Ya's, but then I say, like, a real Stones, I don't know about a complete record collection, but a real Stones fan is going to have Goat's Head Soup.
I love Goat's
it's
Head
only
Soup,
rock and roll
man.
And Black and Blue, you know.
Yeah, Black and Blue I got some issues with. It's only rock and roll. No, not you.
I love Black and Blue. So I'll tell you how I
How you chose these two.
So Lindsay's been doing this a few years. I did the first two with him, and I always was like, okay, got to do the Stones. Got to do the Stones at some point. And I was like, what are we going to be able to pull off? Whatever, I'll do Some Girls and Something. And I was like, okay. So I don't like Some Girls that much.
Me neither. Yeah.
So I was like, man, just do it. Do Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers. Now, to me, those are a pair. You know, the productions is, because like, so, Beggar's Banquet, big, very acoustic, really loud, and, you know, a lot of noise. And Exile, also a really thick, deep, you know, rich, mushy.
Crazy record.
Yes. Yeah.
And so epic.
Those two, you know, they share those similarities. And Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers are cleaner and tighter.
Yeah.
And so, to me, like, well, there's a pair. Plus, I know all the songs.
Well, that helps.
You know, and that made it easy, too. I can just, in fact, when I kind of got around to it, I was like, I don't have charts to most of these songs because, like, I never needed to write them down.
Now, what about the other musicians? Jimmy, you knew these songs, did you
not? Pretty much knew them, yeah. You know. In terms of the arrangements, it's always like it's good to have some sort of map, as we call it.
Yeah. Lindsay, what about you?
You know, oddly enough, the Stones, I'm somewhat a newcomer too. I mean, not at this stage of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't listening.
You came to them late.
Came to them late in life. You know, as I was telling both John and Jimmy earlier, the radio station I grew up listening to, apparently the format was songs 6 minutes or longer. We're talking like progressive era of FM, you know, so it was all album tracks. And so I knew Gentle Giant. I knew Yes. I knew Jethro Tull. I knew Renaissance, but I didn't know
Renaissance,
Rolling Stones or Beatles or Kinks or that things we think of meat and potatoes of rock and roll.
Right.
The Who.
Yeah.
The Who. They didn't even play Won't Get Fooled Again on this station.
Wow.
But anyway.
I saw Renaissance.
Yeah.
77, yeah.
If you're of an age, you remember that era.
Yeah.
But John suggested these albums, and I thought, a chance to play Moonlight Mile?
Oh, please.
Yeah, and that was the thing, too, is like, now we can play Moonlight Mile with strings and,
How many people are going to be a part of this?
About 48, I think.
There's a core of the real rockers that play it, and then, like, just like on the, you know, the record sleeve, like, you got to get a fiddler in for Country Honk. You got to bring the strings in on Moonlight Mile and
French
Sway.
Horn.
And yeah, Monica. You know, all that.
Yeah. So lots of musicians are going to be there.
And a brass section. Yeah.
Wow.
Another widescreen Great Moments.
Bitch with horns.
That's great.
You know?
That's really, really great.
I got the blues with horns.
Yeah.
And you got to hear some of these arrangements. I mean, we had the woman to sing that killer part on Gimme Shelter, you know, that really high rape, murder, just a shot away.
A shot away, yeah.
Andrea Bunch, who was with me when I came last time,
is
singing that part. Uh-huh. I couldn't think of anybody else who could pull it off.
Now,
but I'll tell you, and I'll tell you guys, because I haven't actually said this out loud, but my plan is to just go through the catalog probably from Beggar's Banquet to Tattoo You.
All the way up through Tattoo You?
Maybe not all of Emotional Rescue.
On Wednesday night?
Which I got to confess, I like better than Some Girls.
You won't do the falsetto.
What is it about Some Girl? You just seem to not be...
No, it's just... It, you know what? I was in high school, and all the like bandwagon.
Yeah.
Like, man... It's not that good.
Yeah, you know, look, Some Girls was in my. I'm not a huge fan of Some Girls. I think there's great stuff on it.
It's but great singles.
To me, it's the last album that the Stones made that actually matters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I can take or leave some of the songs on.
Yeah.
But I think the most cohesive record they've made. The last most cohesive record they made, which is really sad because it was 1978 when it came out, was that album.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Tattoo You guy. I know that that was a monster album and it was their like a big comeback for them. After, you know,
that was all outtakes and things.
Yeah,
it was.
Jagger did it himself, just pulling stuff out of. But because I like Black and Blue and Goat's Head Soup, I like that album because they pulled so much stuff.
Yeah.
From those.
And
like Slave was Black and Blue. You know?
They got a massive world tour out of that. That was like,
yes,
a, like
that's
that,
the first
that
time
was,
I saw him.
And Jimmy, evidently, because he's jumping up and down, was there.
What about Brian? I'm sorry. There's Brian.
Yes, of
There's
course.
Brian. And we could go back and do like three albums before Beggar's Banquet. And you have, you know, probably the greatest Beatles song ever written, which was Ruby Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the tune.
Yes.
Yeah. You cannot beat that song.
Yeah.
And the way he added instruments to what they were doing, because they were a blues band, and then he would bring in.
Yeah,
he was.
You know, that's
sitar
we're,
before.
We're
George,
absolutely remiss in not mentioning Brian Jones. There's no question.
I was almost going to put on a blonde wig Wednesday night.
Where, and you get an Anita lookalike to come up there with you, and an Anita lookalike to come up there with you.
He taught the other guys how to dress.
Yeah, he did.
He taught him a lot
of stuff. He taught him a lot of stuff.
Oh, my God, he was like five times a father over by the time the Stones got put together.
Yeah,
you know?
He was an interesting guy.
He was busy.
Man. He was. The Stones are such a, you know, okay, let's go, I want to go, you three guys, favorite Stones album, if you can, your favorite Stones
Exile.
Album? Exile. Okay.
Exile.
I got to be a contrarian. I'm going to go with Undercover of the Night.
Come on!
I like
too
some
much
of
the, blood.
Yeah, too much blood.
I like
go
some
put
of those.
It in a refrigerator.
Burying the bones.
Wow, man!
I like some of the songs. Pretty Beat Up. That is a jam.
I'll rescind it. I'll go with It's Only Rock and Roll.
Okay,
oh.
Another contrary choice. I think mine is Let It Bleed. Mine is Let It Bleed. I love Exile, and I've gotten into arguments with people. It's Exile, man. And then if I mention Let It Bleed, they're like, shut up, leave. Because there's so many people, you know what I mean? Your opinion doesn't matter because you don't think Exile is Stone's best
album. Right.
And I understand, and I totally understand that, but I don't know. I just happen to like Let It Bleed.
Well, I mean, that's like, how do you pick?
I know.
You've got those two. How do you pick?
I know. It's nuts. Yeah. I think, how do you pick from the five that I mentioned?
Yeah. Here's what. For me, Exile, and so I grew up in the early 70s, and many of my favorite albums are double albums.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Side 3, like that's Exile and Physical Graffiti. Side 3, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Physical is another one that I get into arguments with people about, because I love
that's
Physical.
My favorite. That's
your favorite
Zeppelin
album? Well, it's a double album.
Yeah. It's got everything. It's got Custard Pie and 10 Years Gone.
And it's got a song called House of the Holy, which wasn't on House
exactly.
of the Holy.
Exactly. So, man, I was telling, we were talking about this off mic. I have a Zeppelin cover band, and we also don't dress up. And Andrea, who I mentioned before, is the singer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I did it mainly because he's now 21, but I met him when he was 14, a drummer who can do that stuff.
No.
This
and
guy
and I, oh, my God. you would not.
Oh man, those are big shoes,
guy.
Big heavy.
Benji Scheffler, unbelievable. And for me, it was like, can I do this? And you know, I can almost do it.
Yeah.
I can more or less pull it off. Night.
I grew up on. I mean, Zeppelin is one of my favorite. I got to see him twice. I was lucky enough. I saw him in '75, and they were great.
Mm.
And I saw him in '77, and they sucked.
Yeah, they were really
Page
in bad
was,
shape.
Page was so
shape.
Loaded. Yeah, Page was so loaded. He did the show from a folding chair.
Yeah, he was all smacked
really?
Out.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. It was absolutely horrible.
Was
I went.
Really...
They played. They always played like three or four nights at the stadium when they came, and I went the second or third night. Which was not a good thing because they were here in Chicago partying for 3 days.
And, yeah, yeah.
And so by the time that gig happened, the only sober person on stage was John Paul Jones, and he was just kind of looking around going, what the hell am I doing?
Oh, my God.
What am I doing up here? And so in 75, amazing. That tour was amazing. 77, ugh.
Yeah.
And that was for Presence.
Yeah.
And they toured 75 was for Physical. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I was lucky enough to have seen them, and I always, like, look back at that as, like, an incredible, you know, an incredible... Have you seen Zeppelin?
Never
got
to saw
see him?
No, anybody? I had the letter that said, we're sorry, but he's dead.
I got it, too. I got my tickets. I got my tickets, and I got the letter that says, hey, John Bonham's dead.
Yeah.
Richard
dead.
Probably saw them.
Jimmy, did you get
I saw them in...
Yeah, Richard did. We had this
high school.
Yeah.
In 68.
He hung out with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jimmy, go ahead.
Where was I? Oh, 73 is what I believe I saw them, but I saw a lot of the other things too in the concert hall at the same time. They were moving around, crawling over the audience.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty wild back then, I must say.
Yeah. All right, cool. Damn. Well, let's hear a song. Take us out to a commercial. We'll come back. We'll talk more about. I'd love to talk like concerts with you guys, and then I want to hear some stories about Zeppelin. Or Zeppelin.
They're available.
I want to hear
interviews.
Some stories about Zeppelin. No, I want to hear some stories about the Stones. Okay. Let's hear a Stone song to take us out to
just
commercial.
A little
break.
Of this.
Those guys were good.
You know.
No, well, they are good. Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. That's you got to listen to these guys. Great moments in vinyl. Great musicians playing great stuff. Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers. Tomorrow night, December 9th, 8 o'clock at Martyrs. Link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on WEGN. You know, it's funny. By the way, that's John Mead, and we got Jimmy Tomasello and Lindsey Cochran in here for great moments in vinyl. Terrific, incredibly talented musicians who pay tribute to some of the best musicians and artists in the world. And they are doing just that tomorrow night, paying tribute to the great Rolling Stones. Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers are the two albums, and you guys are playing at Martyrs. Listen, you got a story for us, Lindsey?
Sure.
This is Lindsey Cochran is the guy who organizes a lot of these, puts them together, gets great musicians, most of them from the Old Town School of Folk, which is one of the greatest places in the world. And by the way, Jimmy, if people are interested in joining up, taking some classes, how do they go about doing that at the old style? At the old style.
The old stuff, you could just go to that old computer and go to the... www.oldtownschool.org or the phone number, which is 773-728-6000 in Chicagoland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Great place, too. And I don't drink anymore, but afterwards, go grab a cocktail at Ricochet's. And as you said, the only tavern.
Bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the only sort of old school tavern left in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's right under the L tracks.
Box, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So, Lindsey tells stories.
Sure, you want a story?
Yeah, let's hear a story. A Stone
story. Yeah, because we make the music, but then we tell stories about the artists. We tell stories about the songs, just backstories that make you hear the music in a new way. For example, I love this. In the BBC documentary that Keith Richards put together for his memoir, Life, he looks back at age 71 on his beginnings with the Rolling Stones. He says, it was a fascinating journey, and it was presumptuous for 18-year-old white kids from London to say, we're going to be the best blues band in London. In retrospect, it was a ludicrous aim to have it all. And he concludes with one of those distinctive raspy laughs. But here's the thing about that. 50-some years later, the Stones are still together. They're still making music. And if you think about it, that shouldn't be any surprise at all. I mean, their role models from the beginning were American blues artists. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Elmore James. They weren't rock stars who crashed and burned. They were dedicated musicians who made their music and made their music and just kept right on making it until they couldn't anymore. Mm.
There you go. And these guys are going to keep going, man. They're going to keep going.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, you know, I, as I mentioned earlier, I was lucky enough as a kid to have an older cousin and parents who took me to a lot of shows. So I got to see a lot of classic bands at a very young age. And I'm sure that I was completely stoned because of Contact High in these. Because I'm a 10-year-old, you know, with fresh lungs. You know, I'm at the Chicago Stadium going, what's this? But anyway, I never got to see the Stones until. And I got the tickets. And at this point, being the cynical dude that I am, I saw him on the Voodoo Lounge tour at Soldier Field. And I was like, man. You know, and I got the tickets. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going to go. I know, you know, because at that point, even then, that was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I was like, these guys are old, man. You know, I don't want to see these guys. By the way,
they were like my age.
At that time, they're my age now. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't want to see these dudes. And the Stones, whatever. So I go with my friend, and he had never seen them either. And we're both huge music fans. And we went. You know, and seriously, like the two songs in, I'm like, man, this is the Stones. I don't care. You know, I don't care if there's a giant inflatable monkey on stage right now. You know, I don't care that they're in their 50s. It's the Stones. And they were playing Stone songs, you know, and I was like, yeah. And we had good seats. And I was like, okay, this is great. Yeah. So that's the only time I ever saw the Stones was on the Voodoo Lounge tour. And, you know, I went in being really cynical and I walked out going, man, that was rock and roll. That was the Stones.
Yeah. I first saw him in 81, and the last time I saw him was 98, the Bridges.
Bridges,
tour.
Right, yeah.
That was their best. That was the best show. Every time I saw them, they got better.
Isn't that amazing?
It was because they, in 81, they were just hacking through, like, bar band versions, you know, two guitars. And by the 90s, they were like, oh, dude, there was a piano on this.
Yeah.
We should have somebody play that.
Maybe we should have somebody play the piano on this.
And there's those backup. And I guess it was mostly Ronnie Wood.
Yeah,
who would be like, you know, I listen to this record a lot. That's not how it sounds.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think if I remember correctly, the Voodoo Lounge tour came after Keith did his the Winos tour.
Yes. Yes.
And then
best band I ever saw.
Those guys were unbelievable. Those guys were unbelievable. Some of the Aragon, unbelievable. Yeah. And I think some of that bled into Voodoo Lounge Tour.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, I just got off the road with these guys, and this is how we played some stuff.
Step it up, man.
Exactly. I think that had the expensive winos had a lot to do with why the Voodoo Lounge Tour was so good. I don't know. That's just a theory that I have.
Yeah.
Can you play us out? We're gonna take a break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more. And play us out. And again, you guys, come see Great Moments in Vinyl. Incredible musicians playing Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers.
I could think of it the moment.
Nothing wrong with that. How many weddings in the 70s and 80s did you hear Wild Horses?
I know.
It's an amazing song. All right, you guys. The Great Rolling Stones will be paid tribute to by Great Moments in Vinyl at Martyrs tomorrow night, December 9th. Amazing musicians, incredible talents, and we thank them for being here live in studio, and we'll talk some more right after we take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Oh, man. What can you say?
What can you say?
What can you say?
Oh.
That's Sway Jesus. From Sticky Fingers. Great Moments in Vinyl are going to perform that song on all the songs from Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers. Tell great stories in between. Lindsey Cochran, Jimmy Tomasello, and John Mead join me live in studio. They're going to be there at Martyrs tomorrow night, December 9th. 8 o'clock, $10 to get in. Great show. All the links on our Facebook page to get tickets and information. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Now, Jimmy, you've never been here to the studio before.
No. They let me out very rarely.
And I always ask a question. I'll re-ask it to remind everybody. I always ask a couple of questions to musicians who come in here. Standard ones. The first one is, first album you ever bought.
That I ever purchased myself?
Yeah, kind of like with allowance or whatever.
Wow, that's a good one. I mean, I know I asked for a lot of gifts. Was it? Yeah.
Sing a few bars.
All right, think about it.
New Morning. I think that was it.
Oh, okay. New Morning. Wow. New Morning, okay. Wow. All right. And let's go back and remind everybody, Lindsay, first album you ever bought?
First album I ever bought. I'm always ashamed to admit it was a Mungo Jerry album.
Right.
One within the summertime. But I didn't know any better.
Yeah, you were young.
Come on, that's great.
Nothing wrong with Mungo Jerry. Okay, and John?
Ziggy Stardust.
Okay.
Eighth grade graduation money.
Okay.
Coolest guy in the room. Coolest guy in the room.
Damn, my dad, on my birthday, he took me to a record store and he bought me all three Bowie albums because he wouldn't let me go see Bowie whenever it was, 72 or 73 at the auditorium. He said,
all right, here are some records for
you. Wow.
My first album was Black Sabbath Paranoid. My dad took me to a record store. I had my money and I went in and I knew what I wanted. I bought it at the Record Roost on Lincoln and Ashland in Belmont. It's now a Subway sandwich store. I went in and I picked out the record and I brought it up and the dude behind the counter was bearded and crazy, long hair. And he looks down, he sees that, he looks up at me. I'm like, I don't know, seven, maybe 8 years old. And he looks up at me, and then he looks up at my dad, and he's like, you sure you want your son to have this? My dad's like, he likes Sabbath. Just give it to him. Ring it up. So that was my first. All right, first concert, Jimmy.
The group Chicago used to do a Thanksgiving every year because they were all in town with their families. So they would do a show, a late show at the auditorium. And
oh, man.
I was working in a drugstore, and the pharmacist or the assistant pharmacist took all the delivery boys to this show. And we saw
that's awesome.
We saw Chicago and Seals and Crofts opened.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Auditorium Theater. What a great place to walk into.
Yeah, that was my first concert. Was at the Auditorium. Lindsay, what about you?
My first concert, I think the band Chicago. Yeah.
Wow.
Indeed, there was my mother did me a solid. She let a friend from the high school that I didn't even know, a friend of a friend, basically drove the family car up to Oklahoma City to see Chicago.
Wow. Okay, John.
This was February of 76. It was Bowie, Station to Station.
Nice.
Yeah. It was Wing Stadium in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kalamazoo. Kazoo, yeah! mine was at the auditorium, as was yours, Jimmy, and it was Black Oak, Arkansas.
Yeah! Ooh.
Opening act, but the thing was, I dragged my parents to see this show, and they're like, we gotta take the kid to see... It's Jim Dandy to the rescue crap. And at that time, I thought they were great.
Come on.
But the opening act, which made my dad, my dad, my mom were both, at that time you could smoke, so they were like out in the lobby smoking. This is a stupid Black Oak Arkansas crap. But the opening act, they walk out on stage, and my dad starts going nuts. I've told this story many times on the air. He starts going nuts, like kind of getting very excited and jumping up and down and elbowing me. And he goes, oh, my God, that's Paul Rogers. That's Paul Rogers.
Oh, my God.
They walk out. It's Bad Company before the first album came out, and nobody knew who they were.
Wow.
I mean, we knew Paul Rogers from Free. Right. But, like, so my dad, big Free fan, like a freak, and recognized Paul Rogers and started going nuts. And then, so it was Bad Company before the first album.
Wow.
So that was one of those, that was one of those shows, my first show, Auditorium Theater, where the opening act is better than the headline.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, unbelievable. Now, you said that you had some movie.
Well, you're a movie buff. Right?
I am. I try to be.
And Mick Jagger has appeared in his fair share of movies.
Yes, he has.
One of the breaks you were just mentioning, name dropping one of them, was it
Performance? Yeah, Nicholas Roeg's movie, yeah.
Then there was also an Australian film, a British film filmed in Australia, Ned Kelly.
Yes.
He had a starring role in that. But did you know before Stanley Kubrick chose to write the script for and direct this 1971 film. The screenwriter for Dr. Strangelove was looking to adapt the novel and turn it into a movie. David Hemmings from the film Blow Up was the actor he had in mind to star in the story of a gang of British street thugs in a dystopian future. But Mick Jagger caught wind of the plans and lobbied hard to get himself cast in a starring role with the rest of the Rolling Stones as his droogs.
And
among the other rock stars lobbying with him were the Beatles, who had their eyes on providing the soundtrack.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
That's the story about A Clockwork Orange. How about this one?
How did that happen?
That's unbelievable.
In 1973, a quirky musical found success in London's West End, and by 1975, plans were afoot to turn it into a movie. Mick Jagger was asked to audition for the starring role. However, the part of Dr. Frank N. Furter went to the actor who originated it in London, Tim Curry.
Wow.
Rocky
Those are great stories. Man, man, that story about Clockwork is unbelievable.
You just want to hear Jagger singing in the rain.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's hard to, I mean, obviously you can't imagine anybody, Malcolm McDowell, playing that role. But man, that's crazy. That's really, and by the way, I'm showing that movie in March at my film club. I'm showing Clockwork Orange. Yeah. Cool. That's great.
A couple
that's,
other films. I'm not going to read the whole story here, but I mean the original Alejandro Jodorowsky version of Dune that he was trying to work on back in 1975.
Yes.
Mick Jagger was considered for the Fade Rather role, role that Sting played.
Oh,
that's absolutely true. There's a great documentary about
I've seen it
about the making of or the attempt of Alejandro making that movie.
It looks fascinating.
It's amazing.
Oh,
another role.
Love to see that. Yeah. You know, I reread that
Dune
for the a couple of years ago for the first time since I was a teenager.
That's great.
That is a great book.
It's great. It's great. Yeah.
He almost played
cringed when I started, but man.
No, it's a great book. It's a great
book.
And I back the David Lynch movie. I'm one of the few people. I back it. I like it. And, you know, Frank Herbert liked it.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. He did. I went to get a book signed when the movie came out. They released a tie-in, you know, like the movie tie-in with the book. And, you know, of course, because the movie came out and Sting's in it. I was like, oh, Sting is in it. You know, so... and I had read the book when I was younger and loved it. But Frank Herbert was at Marshall Field, and I went to get my book signed. And he said that he loved the movie.
Okay.
That gives me a little justification whenever I have to argue. Now, what were the other movies that we were going to talk about?
Mozart. He almost played the role of Mozart in Amadeus, too. I mean,
what?
He was being considered for that.
Wow.
I think Kenneth Branagh actually got the role originally. And then at the 11th hour, it was pulled in.
Tom Hulse.
Yeah, Tom Hulse was given the role. But Jagger, I guess, was on the short
That's
list.
That's crazy.
Mark Hamill and...
not Mark Hamill.
I can't... God, I have to check this. Mel Gibson, I think, was even on the list of people who were being considered.
So, do you guys know... Do you know that Jagger was originally going to be in Fitzcarraldo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He
was on the scheduling because he was making Undercover and had to go... So he couldn't do it. I like some of it too. Yeah. So he couldn't do it.
Wow.
And so then he went to his crazy friend Klaus.
And ever since then, what a magical relationship that director and that guy had, man.
Yeah.
A Great Moments in Vinyl. Are you planning anything in the future, Lindsay? Have you guys talked about some of the other artists?
Yeah, 20 albums that are on the agenda for next year. We really don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
I mean, we enjoy the residency that we seem to have at Martyrs, but we also want to take it elsewhere in Chicago. You know, I mean, some amazing things are celebrating anniversaries next year. Albums like Desire, the Bob Dylan album, Hotel California.
I meant to talk to you about that.
I mean, there's just a ton of albums. It would be great to take to some other venues and get our name out there. And
have you had a few favorites gigs that you guys have done, artists that you've enjoyed playing? I know this one's going to be, I mean, this is going to be a great one because it's the Stones, and it's like we all grew up with the Stones, and it's going to mean a lot. But are there any artists that stand out that you guys enjoy playing?
I for all of us, but it seems like every show I work on, I get to know the music and really appreciate it well. I mean, John was with me when we did two Michael Jackson albums, Thriller and Off the Wall.
Yeah.
And just being able to put that stuff on stage. I was not a big Michael Jackson fan back in the day, but being able to work on this stuff and see them together.
Can I just mention really quickly, I had the author Kit O'Toole on the show last week, and she has written a book called Michael Jackson FAQ. And I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan. I'm not even that big on Thriller. I think Off the Wall is great, and I like the Jackson 5.
Off the Wall is way better than Thriller.
I don't even think it's a contest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Off the Wall is a much better album. Yeah. But I read this book front to back, and it covers everything from the beginning of the Jackson 5 to posthumous stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it's a great book about a very talented artist, maybe not my cup of tea. But, like, it is a terrific book. So I just want to highly recommend that. If you had a great time doing that, it's called Michael Jackson FAQ.
Okay.
If you can...
Sounds like a good Christmas present for someone I know.
There you go.
who's sleeping.
You go. Well, listen, you guys, I want to thank you so much for coming down. I could talk to you guys all night, man. John,
you got to come out when we do Goat's Head Soup and It's Only Rock and Roll.
There you go. Well, you're not going to do Undercover for him?
As a matter of fact,
you know,
flowers.
Seriously,
flowers.
Nick, I mean, for this Rolling Stones show, I worked with Frankie Lee at a station whose name will not be mentioned.
XRT.
Yeah, not an XRT.
Yeah.
And I've invited him to do some storytelling for this show.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you want to come and do some storytelling with me.
Oh, yeah.
At a gig. I can't do it this week.
Right.
But,
gig down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to be a part of it. I'd be honored to be a part of it.
It's a date.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Okay, well, listen, Jimmy, thank you for coming down.
Yeah, what a pleasure.
I appreciate it. And Lindsay, as always, a lot of fun. Great Moments in Vinyl, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, two of the greatest rock and roll albums ever recorded, will be honored and played. Stories in Between, it's tomorrow night, December 9th at Martyrs. Everybody should go. We have all the links and stuff on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.